The Gospel reading this morning marks a turning point in the life of Jesus. It seems as though that everything leading up to this incident is reaching a climax. And then afterwards, as the verse following the Gospel reading this morning says, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that he had to go to Jerusalem. And he told them what would happen to him there. Jesus took his disciples to the place called Caesarea Philippi. Those who had the privilege of going to Israel will recall vividly this place. Also known in the Arabic name Banias, or the ancient name Panias. And this last name gives us a clue to the history. It was named Panias after the Greek god Pan, who was worshipped there. A spring emerges from a large cave, and those who have been there will now be back in their minds at Caesarea Philippi. It's a major source of water for the River Jordan, which flows down into the Dead Sea eventually. This place had become a place of pagan worship. Apparently, 300 years before Christ, human sacrifices were thrown into the cave, human alive sacrifices were thrown into the cave as offerings to the god Pan. The people of Caesarea Philippi were known for their worship of Baal, the fertility god of the Canaanites. In addition to all this, King Herod the Great had built a temple in Caesarea for the worship of Caesar. And so you see the name Caesarea Philippi, Philip, the follower of Herod, had named it to himself. Now, 2 years ago, Polly and I went to Niagara in Canada, obviously to see the Niagara Falls. But we had a few moments to spare, and we wandered around the town. I can tell you that I have never seen anything quite so tacky. Now, I am prepared to admit that there are probably tackier places in the world. But the whole town seemed to revolve around gambling and gaudy gambling places. Now, I'm sure if you haven't been to Niagara, you can visualise that sort of place. So, in the middle of a pagan place, with people worshipping the god Pan or other gods, people making sacrifices to their chosen pagan gods, Jesus chooses to pose the question, who do people say I am? Just imagine walking down the main street of the town with the glittering casinos all around us. The lights are overpowering. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is walking next to us and asks, who do you say I am? In a city full of light, he would wait for us to reply, Jesus, Jesus, you are the light of the world. So back in the first century, in a setting where pagan temples and idols abounded, where people didn't know Jesus or care who he was, then Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? What are people saying about me? Have they worked out who I am? And in response to the question, the disciples give a number of answers. And the answers they give are good answers. They begin by saying, Jesus, some people think you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist who announced the way of salvation, the one who called people to prepare themselves for the coming of the kingdom. Jesus, other people think you're Elijah. Elijah, the one who performed many miracles, the one who was dedicated to prayer, the one who was taken up into heaven by a fiery chariot. Jesus, other people say you're the prophet Jeremiah. the one who stood against corruption and moral injustices of the day. Jeremiah, who announced the day was coming when God would make a new covenant with his people. Yes, Jesus. That's what Peter is saying. You're John the Baptist, or Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. It wouldn't have been an insult to say that about Jesus. They weren't making derogatory remarks. They were good people. John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jeremiah were good men, spiritual men. They were the men who pointed the way to salvation and a right relationship with God. However, that's all they were. They were pointing the way to salvation. They were not the way of salvation themselves. Completely different from Jesus' claim when of himself he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To see Jesus as merely another person in a long line of great spiritual teachers is to miss everything about Jesus and who he is. And many people in Jesus' day had missed who he was. They'd come to the wrong conclusion about him. And it's left to Peter to make this astounding declaration. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But here, as we're sitting here, we cannot just listen to Peter's response. It's not good enough simply to let Peter answer for us. Instead, we have to do more. We have to answer the question ourselves. And Jesus turns to us and he says, who do you say I am? And we have to answer him. We can't rely on Peter. Jesus has no desire to hear us talk about what Peter believes, or even what our parents believed. Instead, Jesus wants to know what we believe. He wants to know how you answer the question. He wants to know how I answer the question. The Greek pronoun you in this passage is an emphatic position. The verse literally means, but you, who do you say that I am? And in asking the question in the way that he did, Jesus was implying, are you willing to stand alone in your estimation of me? Do you dare take the risk of breaking away from what others are saying? Do you dare take the risk of going against the flow? Do you dare hold a contradictory conviction about me from what other people are saying? Yes, Peter answered the question. But can we? Are we willing to say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are we willing to say, Jesus, you are the Savior. You are my Savior. You are the one who makes me right with God. Are we willing to say, Jesus, you are the one who came to die upon the cross and rise from the grave so that I can have salvation? How do I answer the question that Jesus posed? And our answer to Jesus' question is fundamental to our eternal salvation. Who do you say I am? So can I answer the question of Jesus in the same way that Peter did? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can we answer by saying, Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. Can we answer by saying, Jesus, you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Because only then, only when we answer Jesus in this way, will I know what life and eternity is all about.